on this beautiful Lord's Day to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Thank you, Bert, for our opening prelude this morning. Good morning. It is good to gather in the Lord's house this day. Amen? Oh, come on. Amen? There you go. We have to have a little bit of energy this morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on this second Sunday in July. My prayer is that you have had a chance to enjoy this past week with your friends and family for Independence Day, and you have gathered to worship the one who has set us free this morning here at First Baptist Elon. For those this morning that are joining us via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning. I encourage you to go to our website also at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin this morning. Use that as a resource for this worship service, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary today, make sure you turn to those announcements at the bottom of your bulletin. I do want to point out a few of those to you this day. However, if you are a first-time guest with us this morning, thank you for joining us for worship. If you'll take a minute and fill out one of those visitor's cards just so we can have a record of your visit with us and so I can follow up with you later on this week, I would appreciate it. If you're watching us for the first time on Facebook Live, send me an email this week so I can catch up with you this week as well. Immediately following worship service today, we do have a special round called Elon Roundtable meeting. This is our business meeting. To vote on our potential partnership with Abundant Life Christian Ministry. Excited about this possible mission, but this is a time of discussion that will take place immediately following worship service today. But as we prepare for that time of discussion, I do want to welcome Steve and Gretchen Glahn. If y'all wave at everybody. These are the founders of Abundant Life Christian Ministry. It is a blessing to have you with us in worship this morning. It's also welcome to have Gina Blackwell and Cheryl Parrish with us, who are two of the full-time employees for Abundant Life. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. Thank you for the ministry that y'all do on a daily basis for Abundant Life. Tonight, I want to remind our youth and our children that we are meeting tonight at 5 o'clock for Youth Intensity and our children's ministry. Looking ahead to this week, lots of activities on Tuesday. Senior adult breakfast are meeting at 9 a.m. at Carver's this week. Later that afternoon, Golden Years Bingo Ministry is going to the Golden Years Senior Center. If you want to go and participate and help with this ministry, talk to Sandy French over here. She'll let you know what time you're meeting and going and heading over there. Also, on Tuesday night, we'll be starting back again with our virtual Bible study, looking at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. That's at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. This is session 3 in our study. We'll be looking at 1st Thessalonians chapter 3. Wednesday, Circle of Friends will be going out to visit some of our homebound members. If you want to be a part of this ministry, it is a wonderful ministry. We're meeting at 1:45 Wednesday afternoon upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. And so if you want to be a part of this, if you've come in the past, keep coming. If you haven't come before, come out and join this group. They do a wonderful time of visiting in our community. Looking ahead to the next couple Sundays, next Sunday night, 5 p.m., you do not want to miss it, because we will be celebrating with Angie Miller, our very own children's author. She'll be signing her children's book. She'll be reading her children's book. And, of course, we'll be enjoying a little bit of homemade ice cream. So come out at 5 p.m. next Sunday night for this wonderful event. Take a flyer with you as you leave this morning and pass it out in your neighborhoods. Invite some family members and friends to that event. And then in 2 weeks from today, we'll be blessed to have once again with us CBF missionaries to Japan, Carson and Laura Fushi. They'll be with us that Sunday morning for the worship service. They'll be bringing the word from the pulpit that morning, and then coming back that night for a fellowship meal and for a time of mission sharing. We are collecting a love offering for them this week and next week. So if you prayerfully consider supporting them in their ministry, make sure you pick up one of those love offering envelopes that are circulating all around the church, and bring that offering by next Sunday, because we want to present that to them on the 23rd. And finally, our July missions collections listed on the back of your bulletin. We're collecting food for our food pantry, and we're also collecting items for Camp Green Leaves. Camp Green Leaves will wrap up next week, so we are collecting only items for Camp Green Leaves this week. So if you have items to bring for Camp Green Leaves, bring it by next Sunday, so we will make sure we get it out to them so they can use it for camp this week and next week. We gather here to sing praise to God. Let's sing praise to Jesus Christ this morning.
We're going to change things up a little bit this morning. We're going to sing, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me. On verse 1, I want everybody to sing. Verse 2, I want just ladies. Verse 3, the men. And then verse 4, everybody again. Okay? Everybody got that? All right, let's stand and let's sing.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
I think Gay just wanted to sing in her deep voice today. It's why she wanted to identify for verse 3. Is that what it was? I thought it was. Anyway, let's open our word of scripture today, reading our opening scripture passage, Psalm 145, reading verses 8 through 14. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. So we think about all the things that God does for us. The one thing that we can know for sure every single day is that He is good. He is good. He is good to us. He is good to His creation. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Sovereign God, who is there like You in heaven or on earth? There is no one that even comes close. You alone are worthy of our praise. And so we've come to worship You this morning, to praise Your name, to proclaim Your power and Your glory, to retell the stories of Your goodness, to sing of Your righteousness, to remember Your mercy and compassionate love, to once again affirm that You are our God and that we are Your people. Through the power of Your Holy Spirit and the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to Your presence in this place today among us. Open our hearts and our minds to hear Your voice, to recognize Your call, and to faithfully follow where You are leading us. To You alone, Sovereign Lord, belongs all glory and honor and praise, now and to the end of time. We lift this prayer in the name of Your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Let's stand and worship together.
At this time for our ministry highlight, I want to recognize Angie Miller, who is going to come forward for a presentation to our church on behalf of the Truth Seekers Sunday School class.
Exodus 16:33. Moses said to Aaron, "Get a jar and fill it with 2 quarts of manna. Then put it in a sacred place before the Lord to preserve it for all future generations." We all have keepsakes that symbolize our memories, a photograph, a locket, a love letter. Those little objects help us tell larger stories. In honor of our 75th anniversary, the Truth Seeker Sunday School class is gifting a keepsake to the church. This print of God's fingerprint. God's fingerprint has one verse from every book of the Bible. It starts at the bottom with Genesis 1:1 in the beginning and finishes with Hallelujah in Revelation. Every book of the Bible is represented in between, and each word is impressed with a shimmering gold foil illuminating each word of Scripture. The plaque at the bottom reads, "In remembrance of 75 years of God's love," given by Truth Seekers Sunday School class. As we reminisce about the past 75 years, let us share our memories of how God has molded our church. His fingerprint is evident and everlasting. Now let us put our symbol in this sacred place before the Lord and preserve it for all future generations.
Let us pray. Father, you are the giver of all things, and your word makes clear that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We ask that you accept these gifts and use them to your glory. May these gifts bring shelter to the homeless, comfort to the sick, rest to the weary, and hope to the hopeless. Just as you multiply the offerings of fish and loaves that were freely given for others, we pray that you will multiply these, our offerings to you, and accomplish with them more than we could ask or imagine. Bless the gift and the giver. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
precious and silver. Lord, you are most costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
Thank you, worship team. As we prepare to encounter God's word this day, let us go to Him once again in prayer this morning. Merciful God, we do not understand why we do the things we do. Forgive us for our foolish ways. Give us the strength and the courage to bear your yoke and to heed your call. We know that Christ rescues us from our foolish ways and from our misguided deeds, and for that we give you thanks. In Christ, we are made perfect, even in our imperfection. And for this, we give thanks for His eternal goodness this day. And all God's people said, Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this day here at First Baptist Elon. I pray, I covet your prayers this morning. I've been battling a respiratory infection this past week and my voice goes in and out. I talked a lot this morning already. So you may be praying for my voice to go out so the sermon is short, or you may be praying for my voice not to go out. Last week I gave you the option of voting one or two if you wanted the shorter version of the sermon or the longer version of the sermon. I will tell you today there is no vote this morning. There won't be voting on my sermon link today. I also will tell you this morning that it is another hot, humid July, North Carolina Sunday morning. And as I was preparing for this week's sermon months ago, the one hope and stipulation that I needed to take place for this Sunday is that it was going to be a hot, humid Sunday. Now, I was pretty sure that choosing July 9th in North Carolina, I was pretty safe and sure that I was going to get that hot and humid Sunday. So if you do not like the weather right now, I apologize. I ask for your forgiveness. But thank you, God, for coming through for me this morning. And I'll move more about that in just a few minutes. As I stood in the foyer this morning, as people were entering the sanctuary, I heard a word that kept getting repeated over and over and over again. How are you this morning? I'm good. I'm good. Everything is going good. You look so good this morning. There seems to be a lot of good going around today. And that is good. But my question to you today is this. Is it really good? In Mark chapter 10, Jesus states that only God is truly good. I had an English teacher back in college who would ask students as they entered the room, how are you today? And if a student replied, well, I'm doing good, she would ask, what are you doing? That is good. Or if you responded, I am feeling good, her response would be, what does good feel like? Of course, her point was that we use the word good a lot when we probably should be using the word well. But I want to talk about that word good today. Let's talk about good and goodness. If you were to go to the dictionary, you would find 41 different uses of the word good as an adjective. And then you'd find 6 different uses of the word good as a noun. Now, the Bible uses the word good or goodness over 600 different times, but they all come down to 3 basic meanings in Greek. The first is the Greek word kalos, K-A-L-O-S, which literally means free from defect or beautiful. So when someone said, "You look so good today," they were using the kalos term. You look beautiful today. The second is the Greek word chrestos, C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S, which means something to the effect of this is useful or profitable. This later included the use of saying kindness or goodness of heart. But the word that Jesus was using in Mark 10 was the Greek word agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S, which means possessing a good quality. Jesus was saying that only God can possess the pure, positive quality of goodness. Now, let me repeat that again. Jesus was saying that only God can possess the pure, positive quality of goodness. Now, let me show you this morning what I mean when I say that, rather than just talking about it. Let me demonstrate it for a second. In my right hand today, I hold a bottle of water. I told Gay, if my voice goes too bad, I may have to drink this bottle of water before it's over with. I hold a bottle of water, pure, clear bottle of water. Now, in my left hand, I hold a bottle of Coca-Cola. The bottle of Coke represents the goodness of man. The bottle of water represents the goodness of God. Now, on a hot, sticky, humid day in North Carolina, when we're outside and we're sweating and we know that we need something to drink, back in the delving into our minds, we remember all those beautiful commercials by the Coca-Cola company, right? Of polar bears sitting around in a circle. Some of you ladies remember that Diet Coke commercial with the construction workers taking his shirt off and drinking a Diet Coke. You know which one I'm talking about, don't you? Other commercials of them popping the top off that Coca-Cola and drinking it, and all of a sudden the heat of the day is gone, right? We know that, right? As a type 1 diabetic, as I saw those commercials as a child, and as someone who didn't get to drink a Coca-Cola, I thought that must be the answer to every good thing in life. And so I desperately wanted to be able to do that. Growing up, though, I started to realize when we're hot and humid and sticky, the answer to that dehydration is not what's in this hand, right? It's what's in this hand, right? This is the pure goodness that answers what we need. But oftentimes, what do we turn to? Not what we really need. Goodness works the same way. We would rather walk in our own goodness, as decided by us, rather than the goodness of God. We make statements like, "Well, I might not be perfect, but at least I'm better than so-and-so." Now, when you try to peer through a bottle of Coca-Cola, if I'm trying to look at my son back there in the back, I can't see him. I can't see nothing. Things are added to Coke to make it dark. Coke contains carbonated purified water, cane sugar, caramel, food acid flavor, caffeine, just to name a few of those things. But if I stop to look at my son Samuel back in the back there through this bottle of water, I can see him clearly. I can see through it because it's pure. Water is natural. It contains 2 hydrogen atoms to every 1 oxygen atom. Life is dependent on water. Coke, on the other hand, is also dependent on water too. Without water, there is no Coke. The same is true with God's goodness. God's positive quality of goodness is pure. It is not complex. It is simple. Man's goodness, however, is muddled with good deeds and all those other things to try to bring a self-advancement, recognition, and all those other things. It's darkened by the sin in our lives. Like Coke, water has as its ingredients hydrogen and oxygen, but it's basic and it's tied to God, the goodness of God within us. Without God, there is no goodness in this. Without God, there is no goodness in you. There is nothing that you can do without God. There is no goodness that you can do without God. You can try. You can try your hardest, but you will not succeed. Let's carry the metaphor a little bit further. Water can be found all around us. It's underground. It's above ground. It falls from the sky. I pray it doesn't rain before you get home today. We can cleanse ourselves in water. Water causes things to grow. Water will pour down on top of us whether we deserve it or not. Although we may think so, Coke cannot be found everywhere. It can be found a lot of places, but not everywhere. Coke droplets will not fall from the sky. If you cleanse yourself in Coke, you'll just get sticky. The same is true with God's goodness. God's goodness is all around us. It cleanses us and causes us to grow. Man's goodness is what we often seek after, but it leaves us coming up short. Man's goodness is often easily obtained. We get our hands around it, but it leaves us unfulfilling. Now, I know some of you are sitting here thinking, well, David, I don't like Coca-Cola. You're waving this Coke bottle around, and I'm not a Coca-Cola person. I much prefer Mountain Dew. This is when I would pull up a Mountain Dew bottle, but I couldn't find one. Sorry about that. Well, it may not be as dark as Coke. It is still not as clear as water. Mountain Dew is not as clear as water. Attempting to have the appearance of God's goodness, closer to this, but not exactly, but only making your goodness look a little less murky, will not work in this world. Let's think biblically for a moment. Adam was created with the positive quality of goodness from God. We remember this in Genesis 1 and 2. Andrew just referenced that in the beginning of the picture. All was created with the original goodness, but sin damaged this original goodness for all. Isaiah 53 says, "We have left God's path to follow our own. We began to search for the good life." Remember that term, the good life? That popped up around the 1950s after World War II. After the war, people began to hunger for a more enjoyable life. The good life was an image that abounded in material comforts and luxuries. People driving fast, having bigger houses, wearing fancy clothes, wearing whatever makes us look better. A life lived according to the moral and religious life of our culture became the standard for judging whether life was good or not. Paul spoke about this in 2 Timothy. People will despise the positive quality of goodness, seeking after their own selfish desires. However, Ephesians 2 says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. We had to be created anew through the death of Jesus in order to accomplish the results that the positive quality of goodness would achieve. We cannot achieve goodness on our own. Even though we are forgiven our sins, we still fall short of God's standard for goodness. History shows our lack of goodness. The news reflects our lack of goodness. We are all born with an innate tendency to do wrong. Even Paul talked about this personal struggle in his life and discussed this in our focal passage this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 7, 15 through 19 with me this morning. It's on the screen behind me as well. Reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, the most theological of all his letters, and this is probably one of the most thick theological portions of Romans that there is. That's why I thought the analogy might help a little bit more so than just talking about it. He says this, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." I think we can relate a little bit to Paul's dilemma in this passage. We know what we are supposed to do. We know what we're supposed to do, yet we still struggle. Paul later says in verse 24, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" But then he follows up with the answer. Thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we accept Jesus, we are born into a new spiritual and a new spiritual attitude. God begins to work in and through us by the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus. He works to make our faith unfailing, our love greater, our endurance stronger. He works to give us the desire and power to do what pleases Him, not ourselves. God is at work to first give us the desire to possess the positive quality of goodness, and then the power to use it in the world. But we must first learn to do good. We've got to learn to do good. So let's have a quick lesson on learning to do good. Lesson number one. We need a classroom. Hebrews 10 says we need to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. How do we do this? In a community, in church. If I asked you, why do you come to church? How would you answer that? Oh, I come for the fellowship. I come for the Bible study. I come for worship. Whatever the answer is, that's great, because you're coming to a classroom. Unfortunately, 27% would say they're forced to come to church by someone else. Let's be honest. You may have answered it that way at some point in your life, too. Think about when you were a child or maybe a teenager. "But Mama, I want to stay in bed for just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes, but my friends are going to down to the park. Please, let me stay. Let me go with them. Why do I have to go to Sunday school? Why do I have to get dressed up?" You know what I'm talking about. Later statistics show that 34% decide not to come back to church when they're older. But church is a classroom. It is an open classroom where we can motivate and encourage each other. Our classroom is a place where we can exhibit acts of love toward each other and anyone who enters. Let me repeat that again. Our classroom, the church, is a place where we can exhibit acts of love toward each other and anyone who enters. Most importantly, our classroom is the place where we begin to grow into the understandings of the positive quality of goodness. and how it can reflect our spiritual works. The church is not the only community, however, where we can grow in goodness. Bible study groups, Sunday school groups, book discussion groups, community gatherings, wonderful Christian organizations that focus on discipleship, like Abundant Christian Life, Abundant Life Ministry, provides that community as well. Goodness grows when it's shared. Lesson number two, we need a book. 2 Timothy 3 tells us that Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach. We have a textbook like no other. While men were inspired to write it, the author was God. That is why the sermons that I preach are rooted in God's Word. Your Sunday school lessons each Sunday morning are drawn from God's Word. Our virtual Bible study on Tuesday night is diving deeper into God's Word. We have a textbook. We have the best textbook to learn about God's goodness. And we've got to know the Word. Lesson number three, we need to concentrate. Philippians 4 tells us that to learn, we must fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. We must focus when we gather to learn about God's goodness. Did you hear that? We got to focus when we come together. That includes our time in here. We have to focus. We need to concentrate. And I'm not talking about focusing on where we're going to lunch in about, I don't know how much time. And I'm not talking about focusing on what our thoughts on about what's about to take place in this business meeting. And I'm not talking about focusing on the arguments we had with our spouse or our children in the car before we got here and what we meant to say and what we're going to say to them when we get back in the car. That's not where our focus is. Our concentration has to be on Him because He is the reason we gathered here. We had to focus in our time together in Sunday school. We must make room for the Holy Spirit to move. Did you realize the Holy Spirit doesn't just show up here at 11 o'clock on Sunday and say, I'm ready. The Holy Spirit has been working on you far in advance before you even arrived here. The Holy Spirit has been working on what I'm saying today and the scripture passage I'm reading for months before you got here. It's not happenstance. Nothing that takes place in this hour of worship is by accident. The Holy Spirit is working. And so, if we decide on Sunday morning to come to worship and just, I'm not going to focus today, guess what? The Holy Spirit has been working for months on this hour, and you decide to say, well, that's not important. It's okay. We have to concentrate. We have to prepare. We have to be ready. We have to sometimes check our thoughts and opinions at the door. He's been working. He's having our thoughts, and He's been preparing us to learn. Maybe it's a song that was sung. Maybe it's the music that Bert was playing. Maybe it was a scripture passage read earlier in the worship service. Maybe it was something that your Sunday school teacher taught that was going to tie into what was being preached, and those two things are being brought together. It's not a coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit. That's how He's working. That's how He works. We need to concentrate. Lesson number four. We need to apply what we have learned. 1 Peter tells us we need to turn away from evil and do good. Learning is a daily experience. When we leave this place today, we carry the knowledge that we have learned. We must apply it. If we don't apply it, why do we come in the first place? What's the reason? When we leave this place today, we are heading into the mission field. We must take what we have learned about the goodness of God, and let it illuminate the spiritual darkness that is around us outside. We must turn away from the Coca-Cola and start drinking the water and sharing it. Goodness will result in peace, it will result in love, and it will result in understanding. The lesson five, the last lesson we must learn, is that we need to have a goal. Galatians 6 tells us not to get tired of doing what is good. If we continue, we will reap a great harvest. We have learned a lot today about the positive quality of goodness that God desires for us to possess. It will be a struggle at times to show the spiritual fruit of goodness. It's not always easy. Paul tells us not to get tired of doing what is good, and Paul should know about what it means to get tired. I mean, the man traveled thousands and thousands of miles. He got thrown in every prison all across the Middle East. He talked to a whole bunch of people that didn't want to listen to him. You know how tiring that is? It's very tiring. And, you know, he does this, and a lot of the times when in the middle of all this thing, he showed the positive qualities of goodness. That's from God. It is ours if we do not give it up. So this morning I ask you, as my voice is gone, we have a choice. Each of us has a choice. We have a choice. We can do it our way. We can do it our way. Or we can choose God's way of goodness. And I think the choice is clear. Let's pray. Father, thank you for revealing to us what true goodness looks like. And thank you for embedding that inside of us, your creation, so that we can understand, embrace, and learn from it, and hopefully make a difference in this world that needs to see it. Father, I pray that not just in this hour of worship, but as we leave and go wherever you lead us into this mission field, that we choose that goodness, that we embrace that goodness, and that we share that goodness with the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of invitation this morning, maybe for the first time you recognize what Christ has provided you, the goodness of eternal life through him. If this is the first time you see that and recognize that, I'll be down front. You can come down front. I'll talk to you about what it means to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're looking for a church home, a home that seeks to learn from that goodness, to share that goodness, to use this facility as a classroom of growing in him. And if that's you're looking for a church home, First Baptist Elon could be that place for you. I'll talk to you about what it means to be a member here at First Baptist. Or maybe just today you've been struggling. Maybe it's something you're struggling with in your personal life, your work life. Maybe it's something you're struggling with and other things that are going on. Maybe you just need some time in prayer with him. Pray where you are in your seat. Pray here at the altar. The altar's open. It's his altar. It's not mine. I'll pray with you as well if you would like. Whatever decision, however God is moving, however the Holy Spirit is moving today, whatever it is, make that decision today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Jesus is
As we come to the conclusion of our worship service now, as I shared before, we're going to be entering into a time of business, our Elon Roundtable meeting. If you are a guest with us this morning, you are welcome to stay and see how we do business here at First Baptist Elon, but we're not forcing you to stay. If you would like to leave at this time, you're more than welcome to. We'll give you a minute or two to do that. I'm going to ask Bert if she'll play just softly and tenderly. Give you a moment to do that. If you need to stand up and stretch your legs a little bit, talk a little bit, we will enter our time of business in just a moment or two.
Our moderator, Amy Harrison, I want to call this meeting to order. This meeting is for the express purpose of discussing and making the decision about our church's relationship to Abundant Life Ministries. The motion comes from the Vision Leadership Team, and David will present this motion. If he can talk.
And I'll read the motion that's coming from the Vision Leadership Team as a representative of the Vision Leadership Team, and then there'll be a time of discussion that will follow. I apologize. The Vision Leadership Team of First Baptist Elon brings the following motion to the congregation for a vote. The First Baptist Church of Elon should enter a one-year trial period partnership with Abundant Life Christian Ministry, where First Baptist Church of Elon would serve as the host site for this nonprofit organization that provides daytime Christian programs for adults with cognitive and physical disabilities beginning on July 31st, 2023. This partnership is conditional in that Abundant Life Christian Ministry obtains a liability policy for coverage while at First Baptist Elon, with First Baptist Church of Elon being listed as additionally insured, and hired auto liability coverage is added as an endorsement to this liability policy. This partnership will be revisited at the June 2024 Elon Roundtable meeting for discussion, continuation, or dissolution.
Thank you, David. It comes from a committee, therefore it does not need a second. So it is time for discussion and questions, and we'll open the floor for that.
Janie, if I can speak.
Sure.
And Kathy, I have the motion here for you, for the secretary. If I can talk. I had a chance to answer a few questions this morning prior to Sunday school, and over the last couple weeks, I shared the information 2 weeks ago with the congregation, and shared it by Sunday school classes and also by email. I apologize. I have a cough, a catch, unless it won't go. Anyway. In that information, just to kind of explain our portion of this, Abundant Life Christian Ministry is a program that provides Christian discipleship. It's a spiritual ministry that provides a daytime program for adults with cognitive and physical disabilities. We would be, First Baptist Elon, we would be providing the site, the location for this program that would meet Monday through Thursday, approximately from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. this program would bring onto our site Monday through Thursday approximately 10 individuals that would be participating in the program, along with 4 to 5 additional workers / volunteers. Abundant Life Christian Ministry is solely intended on a spiritual ministry to discipleship these adults who are participating. The program has been in existence for 7 or 8 years. I may be mistakenly speaking, and I told Steve and Gretchen to speak up if I misappropriate anything. We would be providing the host site, the location. They would be using the fellowship hall area and the kitchen area Monday through Thursday. They'd also be using the bathroom facilities. And then on Wednesday afternoon and Thursday afternoon, they will be using our bus to go on mission projects and outings. I was saying, is it a weather? Tornado. Okay. Well, we're in a good place. However, our tornado policy here at First Baptist Elon, if it increases, we will go down the hallway to the lower area where there's less windows. Okay. So this is what we will be providing, is the location. We also will be providing the utility costs, because there will be increased utilities costs here for that time there that Abundant Life is here. We'll also be providing the costs for the bus usage while they use it on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Some of the questions I've received as, what about our regularly run ministries that take place in the area in which Abundant Life will do it? It's about flexibility. We'll still run our normal programming. They will adjust and will move down the hallways to the classrooms when needed. What about unexpected occurrences such as funerals? Again, it's flexibility. We are not the only site. Abundant Life meets at Hebron Community Church in Mebane, and they do a wonderful ministry there already. The reason why this has come up, and it's kind of in a quick nature, the site that they currently meet in Burlington, they are no longer going to be able to meet in their Burlington site because of the expansion of a preschool school there. And they are seeking to find a new site for the location. And it was a God thing that brought them to First Baptist Elon's door. Other questions that I can't answer is, what it will be the financial responsibility. I shared what it would be. What are the numbers? I can't tell you. I don't know what the cost of increase of the utilities. I can't tell you what the cost of gas and all that stuff will be. We're really stepping out on faith. And that's why I worded the motion that this is a partnership. It is not a individual organization coming in and using our facility. We're embracing this ministry, and we'll be supporting this ministry, and we'll be hopefully volunteering and helping with this ministry. We want them to be a part of our ministry. This will not prevent us from doing anything that we already do. This will not prevent us from doing anything that we want to do. And my hope is this will grow into something that is greater than we would ever possibly imagine. It is a step of faith.
Are there questions or discussion? John? Or speak loudly.
One thing I forgot to ask this morning. Okay. One thing I forgot to ask this morning. The bathrooms upstairs. I know they're not necessarily ADA compliant. Well, have they been deemed adequate for what we're trying to do here?
Talking to Steve and Gretchen, we had this conversation after they came and we discussed it. The answer is yes. There is one of the individuals that could possibly come be on our site is in a wheelchair. And what we would have to do then is that individual will probably have to come downstairs to use our lower facilities for the bathroom, but everything else is functional, yes.
Other questions? If not, then we will accept a vote, and we'll do it by voice vote. Can you hear? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Then the motion passes. Yeah.
All right. The weather delay has gone to an extreme, meaning there is a tornado in this area, okay? What I'm going to ask everybody to do to